Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, for today, Sunday, March 16th. We're excited about tonight's show because we have Donna Mee joining us again, but we also have some exciting news to share with you, so my sister's going to give you all the beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the beauty news. I wanted to start off very briefly with something coming out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Spring on the Heat. Get the latest hair and nail care tips for the spring. A collaboration with Wanda Belk of Zoe Nails and Octavia Coleman of Ice Cream Bar Beauty. This will be an 8-hour, 8-credit hour, hands-on continued education course covering the necessities in healthy hair, trendy cuts, and quality nail care, as well as business and professional etiquette. The incentives to taking this class will be free lunch, that's always a great incentive, giveaways, class and instruction kits, intimate and personal setting to maximize learning and networking potential. The class takes place Monday, April 7th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Zoe Nails at Arsley, 2034 Arsley Town Boulevard, Charlotte, North Carolina. There's a $200 early bird class registration. That sale started March 1st and ends on March 31st. The regular class registration is $250, and that starts on April 1st and ends on April 7th, the day of the class. There's a 50% non-refundable deposit required to hold your seat for the class. To purchase tickets, you can call Wanda at 704-780-3377. Or you can call Octavia Coleman at 980-263-9561. Or you can log on to icecreambeautybarevents.eventbrite.com to register for the class. And again, this is taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. And if you want more information on that class, you can email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. And then for the really exciting news that I think my sister is speaking of is Beauty Talk presents Famous. Beauty Talk presents Famous at Fame Expo. So what this is, it's the brainchild of Janice. This is a nail competition that's going to take place at Fame Expo. It's a really big deal. We're really excited about it, and I'm going to give you a few of the details now, but the majority of the details will come later this week. Just stay tuned to the Fame Expo website, and that's fameexpo.com, P-H-A-M-E-X-P-O.com. This famous nail expo, I'm sorry, the famous nail competition at Fame Expo, is going to be 4 competitions within 3 divisions, and I'm going to break down the competitions for you and the divisions as well. The competitions on day one will be competition number 1 will be soak-off, gel salon, art design. Competition number 2 will be selfie, one-hand, salon art. On day 2, competition number 3 will be nail art, acrylic, and gel competition. Competition number 4 will be flat art tip box. So for all you nail people, get ready. It's going to be a big deal. There are three divisions, like I mentioned before. The first division will be like people like me, will be first-timers who have never competed. Division number two, for those who have competed but never placed first, second, or third in a nail competition. Division three will be for those who have competed and have placed first, second, or third. So I guess those will be the ones who are, I guess, really experienced. I don't know. I'm not a nail person. This is Janice's thing, so I'll let her comment on it in a second. But again, Division 1, 2, and 3, Division 1 is first for first-timers who have never competed. Division 2 for those who have competed but never placed first, second, or third in a competition. And Division 3 for those who have competed and have placed first, second, and third. And I'm going to read briefly what's going to take place as far as trophies being awarded. First, second, and third places for all divisions in every competition will be awarded a trophy. Any division that has less than four entries will be entered in the next higher division. So, again, there will be trophies awarded for the first, second, and third places for all divisions in every competition. And then any division that has less than four entries will be entered in the next higher division. Division winners will be those who compete in a minimum of three competitions. Winners are determined by the combination of total points for three competitions with the highest points. Also, for team trophies, awarded to the team with the most cumulative points earned by the combination of total points in three out of four competitions. Team must be a minimum of three people and a maximum of six. The top three scores from each team will be added in the highest collective points wins. The entry fees for the competition is $50 for one competition and $150 for all four competitions. And then team entries are free of charge. So, Janice, do you have anything that you want to add before I give the email for more information?
I just wanted to quickly say that the Famous Nails nail competition, working with me on this competition is Lisa Comfort. And if, for those people out there who are familiar with nails and familiar with Lisa Comfort is the head judge of Nail Olympics, the international competition. So we're pulling, and she's helping me to pull this competition together. And just to let everyone know, we'll be making announcements, you know, as the weeks go along, but we have some exciting people participating in the competition as far as our MC and some of our judges. So we'll make announcements about that as the weeks go along.
Okay, so the email address, if you're interested in competing and you need more information, the email address is famousnails@fameexpo.com. That's P-H-A-M-E-O-U-S, nails, N-A-I-L-S, at fameexpo, P-H-A-M-E-X-P-O.com. And again, if you didn't get all that, stay tuned to our Facebook page, Beauty Talk with Illusions Online Radio, and we'll post all this information on that page as well.
Great. Sounds good. So shifting gears, we want to get back to the conversation for tonight. What does it take to make it in the industry? And here to talk about that is Donna Mee. Hi, Donna.
Hi there.
Welcome back
to the
show.
Can everybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thanks. Great to be back.
Yes, just want to remind everyone out there listening, if you want to ask Donna a question or make a comment about tonight's discussion, that call-in number is 914-803-4399. So, Donna, can you just briefly, I know you've done this every time you come on, but can you just briefly introduce yourself for those new listeners out there?
Oh, darn. I should have known. I always forget about that part. Okay, I'm a veteran makeup artist. I've been working over 30-something years in the industry. I specialize in corrective beauty makeup and also like to consider myself specializing in instructing and teaching and giving major light bulb moments to makeup artists. That is my passion deep down in my soul. That really does it for me. It used to be, you know, having women, you know, look in the mirror and go, oh, how did I not realize how I could make my eyes look like this all these years, you know? But now I realize I can only touch so many women and do that for them. So when I had the epiphany one day that if I taught other makeup artists how to do this level of makeup and this type of corrective techniques I had discovered, you know, so many more millions of women would love their own reflection in the mirror so much more. So that's become my burning passion for the last 20-plus years. So what else do I do? Gosh, I own a makeup artist studio, an agency, an academy, a little beauty boutique, and a store, brush line, all in Southern California. I'm located in Costa Mesa, California, and my academy is Empire Academy of Makeup.
Nice.
And I'm told I have the world's largest vintage beauty makeup museum. So I have a lot of plate spinning right
now.
I hope you make it out here next year's class.
Okay, so it's going to be at your class.
It's so enormous that it doesn't really fit in display anymore. I used to have it on display, a lot of it, in my old facility.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's all in storage. I take it out once a year for a big 3-day workshop that I teach called 200 Decades of Beauty.
What about having it maybe on display at Fame Expo?
Oh, it's so much work. It takes me over a week to set up and also to tear down. I did display some pieces. I think I brought maybe 100 or so pieces to the IMAT LA, the International Makeup Artist Trade Show, several years ago. And I know the LA Times and several other places ended up writing articles about it. And then Makeup Artist Magazine got so much feedback that they asked me to do another piece. So there was like an 8 or 12-page spread in Makeup Artist Magazine a few years ago. It wasn't all my pieces. It was the majority was mine, and then they had some other pieces they had also got from other people. It'll be on display. My next workshop here is in September. So you can put in for find some cheap flights in advance, perhaps, to Southern California. Who doesn't want to come here anyway, right?
Right. We'll have to check that out. Just jump right into tonight's conversation. What does it really take, Donna, to make it in this industry?
Oh, so many things are necessary to really, truly achieve success. So a lot of people are under the assumption that they just, do really good makeup and, can rock some eyeshadow that they're going to be a makeup artist. And Lord knows there's a lot of people who, they call themselves makeup artists. But, in my opinion, someone who's successfully working, someone who's making a living, someone who's not, selling stuff on Craigslist to pay their rent is what I'm talking about, doing makeup successfully. That's such a huge part, and it has so much more to do. Even like Kevin Aquan used to say, it's, your skill is a very small percentage. I believe he was quoted as saying 70% of it is your personality. So, of course, that comes into play. But, you can be the nicest person in the world, and, of course, you still have to do good makeup, but there's still so much more to it. I've broken it down into 5 categories that I teach in a marketing workshop, but today, obviously, in an hour, I can't discuss an 18-hour workshop and all that I feel is important. But the 3 categories, the top 3 that I really want to touch on tonight, if we have time, is number 1 is what I call perfecting your skills. Number 2 is industry awareness, that I've really discovered that no one talks about. Everyone just assumes you know, and there's so many of us out there that have, learned some really hard lessons and been embarrassed about things we've done on set, or even being, fired or never called back to a job, or, blackballed even in the industry in some cases, that no one ever wants to talk about. So I pride myself at educating my students on so much of that so they don't have to learn those hard lessons and follow that path so they're, successful route is a much direct route. It's not so many pitfalls that so many people deal with.
Right.
And the 3rd thing I wanted to touch on was business preparation. And there's so much about the business. And, I like to say we all become makeup artists because we can't, the creative right brain versus left brain thing. A lot of us, claim that we can't keep a regular corporate job. We're so bored and we're so ADD, so many makeup artists. I'm not making fun. I'm one of them. But, those of you in the industry know that that is a large majority of us creative people are just, our brain speaks to us and it talks so much. We have trouble sleeping. That's why we're all up at 3-4 in the morning, like myself. Aren't you guys? Are you that way too?
Lately. It's more like 6 in the morning.
Okay. Well, I noticed, you know, a lot of the good photographers and the people that I work with, it seems like, you know, we're always up still chatting at 3, 4 in the morning about, you know, our shoot or the next one and stuff like that. It just seems to me a lot of the creatives are kind of in that boat. But anyway, the point is a business preparation that's so important that doesn't really come naturally to so many of us. You know, the analytical people aren't really typically makeup artists. And there's very few people that are, you know, half and half, right and left-brained, as they call it. And that really does make the best makeup artists out there. So, you know, we can learn the business skills. You know, we can follow instruction, obviously. But there's just not a lot of people out there putting it out there, simplifying it for people. A lot of people, you know, teach marketing class, and it's usually an hour or two, and they run out of things to say. I'm having trouble, you know, fitting what I want to say into 18 hours, and I don't repeat myself. And it's like, I hope you're all catching on because I got to go really fast because there's so much to grab in. So those are the three topics that I wanted to try and touch on today, but starting with perfecting your skills, you know, it seems like the obvious that, you know, everyone's just going to practice, and a lot of people say, well, I'm going to practice, and, you know, practicing without having great education to be practicing is, you know, really just doing what you've always done on yourself or your friends, and it doesn't really result in that much growth. You know,
right.
My opinion is that you really have to learn about colors and textures and formulas and, you know, ingredients and skin issues and what to use and what not to use and what to avoid on, you know, this person or for indoor shoots or outdoor shoots or if they're used shooting with tungsten lighting or old-fashioned film. If you've never been taught that, there's still not a lot you can practice. Those are things you know, for the most part, can't really figure out on your own. I mean, you truly can, but it's decades of, mm-hmm. you know, each time you do it and you don't do it right, that you're still hurting your career. You're, you know, hurting your reputation. You can possibly be burning bridges. Those people don't want to work with you again while you're working out the kinks. And most makeup artists aren't that tenacious to just keep trying and continue to fail. Nobody likes to fail. You know, we're a generation of instant gratification. So I just feel that the education is such a big part of really growth and becoming a good makeup artist. A lot of people, you know, have gone to school, you know, or they've taken a few seminars, but, you know, that doesn't mean they're educated. A lot of people have spent money on education but didn't really get the education they wanted. They, you know, they come out thinking, oh, we just kind of played in the makeup all the time, and there wasn't a lot of theory given. You know, I have artists that come to my academy all the time to say, oh, I already know color theory. I'm like, okay, if I asked you to tell me about color theory, how long would it take you? And they're like, a minute. Okay, there's more to it than that than could be explained in a minute, I promise. But most people just know, you know, green cancels red, and they're good to go. You know, put purple on a brown eye. You know, that's what it's about, the extent of what most people consider color theory. But, I mean, it's so much more in-depth than that, at least what they should know. You know, I tell my students day one, you know, specifically cosmetologists often say, you know, oh, I don't need that week. I've done color theory. I know how to do it. We had to take it for hair. And it's like, okay, but fixing their hair when you turn it green is usually when the people whip out the color wheel at the hair salon. It's a little bit different. As a makeup artist, mm-hmm. it's more about just figuring out what color to use or to fix something. We have to utilize color theory, or at least we should, those of us with good formal training. It's about how to, you know, analyze their skin tone, their difference in their surface tones and undertones, and, you know, which one you need to utilize in order to match. And that's going to be based on so many more things than how light or how dark they are. That's a totally different thing than the color itself. But how to custom mix the colors, how to, you know, determine what colors you're going to put on her. Just because you think, you know, these are great colors for her, but they're going to put a wig on her that's this color, which is now going to make her color harmony completely different. The color wig they're putting on her sometimes isn't good. It's going to make her skin look sallow. So now how do you learn how to adjust it? Oh, but guess what? Now we're not shooting indoor after all. We're shooting outdoor, and it's sunset. So look what color the sun is reflecting and how different it's going to look. They told you they wanted coral. It is not looking coral right now. How do you adjust it to make it coral based on this time of day in the sun? If you don't know that, you don't really know color theory. And there's, you know, just so much more to it. You know, if they say, well, it's going to be the cover of whatever, Vogue or Allure or Cosmo, and you also have to determine what color is the masthead going to be, and is it going to clash with your makeup so the thing gets scrapped? Or they alter it in color, you know, in Photoshop, so it's not really the makeup you did. You know, there's there's just so much that goes into it when it comes to color. But anyway, you know, I could talk about color for 3 days. So, or I just want, you know, everybody to go out. So many people think, you know, that they know things, and there's just, I always say, you know, my students know I'm famous for saying, you don't know what you don't know until you find out you didn't know.
Right.
And there's just so much more. There's so much more, you know, to the industry, at least becoming good at it. But, you know, like I said, we're such a instant gratification society now that, you know, everybody
mm-hmm.
just says, oh, Photoshop it. Oh, fix
mm-hmm.
it. Fix it in Photoshop. And it's made us such so lazy. But it's not really the old school people, you know, that before Photoshop existed, like, we had to learn how to do it. And nowadays,
right.
the truth is, people aren't teaching in schools how to do it because the people teaching, you know, they're from this era and they never learned how to do it. And the people who didn't necessarily pass it down because most of them are retired. I don't know. It's quite frustrating for me. I mean, I have a large part of my graduates actually come from other schools. So, you know, I know what they're teaching and what they're not, cause, you know, how they walk in the door and what they're aware of. And that is frustrating to me. So anyone who goes out there and it pays for training, I know I've talked about this on former Beauty Talk, you know, episodes or whatever you want to call it. But do your research before you pay anyone, you know. Do your research. Find out who's teaching. What credentials do they have? How good is their own portfolio? Do they know how to teach? Because there's lots of good makeup artists that don't know how to teach.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Being able to articulate why and how, not just, oh, I usually do this. It works for me. This is my favorite. And I also encourage everybody out there who does go to a training, you know, some people kind of know things, but they just don't know how to say it. And I constantly, you know, at all the trade shows and whatnot, I'll see demos going on, and I'm thinking, why did they use that foundation? Why isn't anyone else curious? What finish are they after? You know, what is their point of using that? But, you know, everyone just kind of likes to watch and not really ask so many questions. But I encourage everyone to go, what made you pick that color? How did you know that color was going to be good? Or, you know, even if you think the color doesn't match, how do you think the color matches? I mean, there's just so much that goes into, you know, the formulations. And what if her skin was dry? How would you have altered it? What would be different about it? What if her eyes were green? What would you use the same colors, or would it be different? I mean, that's how someone's going to learn. But if the educator can't articulate the whys, okay, then it's probably not the person I would, you know, give more money to, I guess, is the point.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'll get off my big wing because we've discussed it before.
Besides a great education, you know, and you talked about color theory, and that learning comes with, you know, getting a great education, what other things would you suggest for an artist to do besides going to school and going to a great school with great instructors? How else do you suggest we perfect our skills?
Well, from there, once you know the theory, is going out there and working and putting it to good use. You know, of course, doing photo shoots and testing and building your book is like a whole new learning curve. As much as someone can teach you about the theory of color and placement and the science of light and dark and, you know, your contouring and the different looks, whether it's commercial or editorial, and, I mean, there's so much, you still got to go out there and put it to use because there's so much else that goes into it that'll still stump you. You know, even if you practice the look they tell you they want for a shoot and you really nail it on, you know, whoever you've been practicing on, that doesn't mean that when the model walks in, it's going to work on her and her bone structure or coloring and or skin. I mean, there's so many things that could throw a wrench in it. And I know when I started, you know, people would ask me for certain looks, and of course I would like, I can do that. And I would do it, and then sometimes, you know, the whoever, photographer or art director or somebody would say, yeah, that's not what we were looking for. And, you know, at first I would just get kind of pissy and go, well, that's what you asked me to do. Look at it. I'd show them the original. It looks just like it. It's the same color. It's like, well, she doesn't look like her. You know, you're showing me a picture of, you know, a gorgeous lady, but, you know, she's almond, up-tilled eyes, and this girl has round, you know, face and rainbow-shaped eyes and chubby cheeks. So, yeah, the same exact thing doesn't look the same. You know, it's not a scalpel, it is a makeup brush. But, you know, when I was young, I just, you know, I would argue with them that is what I did, and I didn't know how to articulate, okay, that look really would work on her. And it took me a while to learn that they were disappointed in me. I knew it wouldn't work going in, but I just did what they said when I was young. So now I educate my students to not let that happen, because indirectly that's hurting your reputation. You have to know enough about coloring and bone structure and skin and be able to walk in and say, I understand what we were after. However, because her skin, you know, she was in the sun the other day, she's dehydrated, or she just had her face waxed and nothing's going to adhere, or she just had a laser peel, this isn't going to work today, or, you know, whatever. You want to shoot at sunset, and this color is going to make her look sallow. You know, this is how I suggest we adjust it, or this is what I suggest look will work on her. I know you wanted this, but it's not going to work. You know, they should respect our opinion and advice. But most makeup artists, A, don't know enough about skin or bone structure or lighting. Two, know it's not going to work until they've done it themselves and they look in the mirror and think, oh, shit. So that's a learning curve right there. But once they get to that point, I really encourage them to communicate with the higher-ups. And don't just say, this isn't going to work. I don't know who cast this model. Like, this is lame. You have to give a solution, not just tell the problem. You know, but that's a grown-up kind of thing. And there's so many young makeup artists that even though they might be listening to me and they might know they need to do this, that doesn't mean they always have the balls to speak up and do it. But when you know the end result is them talking about you when the door closes, that they're disappointed, they didn't get what they needed, they're going to have to reshoot, it cost them a lot of money, and they're going to tell people when they see this artist for years on that, oh, that girl cost us a whole booking once with a client. We lost blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You know, so when you really think about what could be the end result of not speaking up, it kind of helps your balls grow a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow.
So, I mean, communication and people skills is enormous, and that's hard for a lot of people. A lot of creative mm-hmm. people are... You know, it almost seems like they're on one side of the fence and the other. They're usually, you know, really outgoing and, you know, talkative and communicative, or they're very timid and quiet and kind of artistic in their head in their own way, you know. So I don't find a lot of my students are in that middle zone. It almost seems like they're one side of the path or the other. So it is harder for my people that are really timid and quiet. So I encourage them to, you know, take a speaking class, take an acting class. I mean, get up on stage in front of strangers and pretend you're a tree, whatever it takes to get comfortable, you know, being, I don't know, what's the word I want to say, vulnerable, you know, and just doing it. And, you know, it's always for the best or the better. I also suggest that my students do retail work, you know, as much as most schools, you know, make fun of it and put down working it, you know, for MAC or Bobbi Brown or, you know, Makeup Forever or Smashbox or Lancome or whoever floats your boat. I mean, that is real life experience, but the best thing is
right.
You're getting paid to stand there and practice. So it's not
right.
A total
exactly.
Loss. You're meeting possible brides, which is going to just be even more exposure of, you know, going on location and whatnot at the beginning. That's what it takes to get your own confidence. So I highly encourage that they do retail work, if not behind the counter, at least freelance. So they're going to, you know, build their kit at the same time. They get tons of free makeup and gratis, and they're building contacts. And a lot of the line people there, you know, aren't comfortable or confident or skilled enough to do wedding work. So they're going to get referrals to better paid things, but they just got to kind of put in their dues and get better, get faster, get their speed up. Speed will kill you in this industry if you're slow. I mean, you can never make it to the top if you're, you know, still take an hour and a half, 2 hours a face. It's just not going to happen. So working at the mall is, it's a bonus.
You're right. Let me ask you, because I'm listening to you say this, and I just, you know, I'm just thinking of back, you know, in my early days, you know, that's what we did. We worked at, you know, we worked at the various counters, and like you said, it's practice. You get paid to practice. Are you finding that a lot of new makeup artists or makeup artists who are like within their early years of becoming makeup artists, are you finding that they're not doing that anymore?
Yeah, I think people think it's beneath them a lot of times. Especially, I mean, I'll have some students that enroll and they've already done the mall thing. And they, you know, they think they realize they could, it was a black hole, they couldn't get out of it for a long time. so when they come here and I'm trying to tell them to go back, they're like, oh, no, did you not hear me? I've been there, done that. I'm like, you've been there and done that with nothing, flying by the seat of your pants. It was a totally different experience. And now that you understand color, skin, bone structure, lighting, you will be the star of the department. Everyone will come to you for the answers. Everyone will bring, you know, the hard customer that can't figure out. You know, you will be the go-to person, and that actually builds and skyrockets your confidence. You will do it in such a better way, at least once they have my training, that it's just a different experience. It's such a much more positive memory, if nothing else. So, you know, still, a lot of them refuse to do it. It frustrates me. But most of my, you know, really successful students, they did take my advice in working them all. And my advice is do 6 months, you know,
Mm-hmm.
6 months and, you know, get out. After 6 months, you gained so much more. And I've had people say, you know what, I've been there a month and a half. I get it. My speed has quadrupled. I got tons of free stuff. I'm confident. Hit the ground running, and they're just out there building whatever they wanted to do, their portfolio, starting to work in TV or film or start a bridal business. You know, and I have some people that still freelance, you know, one day a month. You know, if it's your day
right.
off, I always say it's better than sitting on the couch eating Twinkies. You know, yeah, it's not as much as you might be
right.
making. But 20, 25 bucks an hour, you can still negotiate, you know, starting off in freelancing, at least in this area. And, you know, you're making that, you're making contacts, you're getting free stuff, and, you know, you're probably going to book a bride just about every day. You know, especially, I always say, if you're one of those people that notice big engagement rings all the time, that makes it so easy to get in a conversation with somebody who's getting married. And everybody
you know,
likes somebody who's getting married. So when you're good at what you do and people compliment you, you know, that should easily come out of a makeup artist's mouth. Well, thanks so much. I really appreciate the compliment. I love hearing it. You know, I also do weddings. If you happen to know anyone getting married, please give them my card. Here you go.
Right.
And so many people just don't think about the business end of it.
But you know what, Donna, I think one thing that we left out about freelancing is you get to touch so many different faces, so many different skin types, skin textures. I mean, there are
Absolutely.
So many situations going on with the everyday woman that, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's the greatest place to learn. It's the best place
it
to
is.
Start.
Because people, you know, some people get lucky and they just fall into their friend, works for, you know, whatever, photographer, modeling agency or something. Yeah, you can get somewhere if you have an in to the industry. But my warning to those people is, you know, it's easy to do a beautiful model. Okay, they don't all have perfect skin, as we know, but for the majority, they don't have as many issues, facial issues, beauty issues as the average person. So when you do just, you know, beautiful people for the most part, it does make us kind of lazy. I mean, I can take a beautiful face that's, you know, far-spaced, almond up-tilt eyes, and I can do just about anything, and it still looks pretty good. But if you take, you know, a lady who's average person's not symmetrical, one eye's bigger than the other, one eye's a little droopy, this and that, holy cow, you expand on that and you just made her less attractive. And so working retail makes you so much better. So the people who kind of get lucky and just start doing, you know, models and celebrity work and whatnot, you know, when they end up doing a family or friend's wedding, it's usually some pretty scary results, to be honest. I mean, super scary. I could tell you lots of stories, so we're not going to get into that. There are definitely people out there that, you know, that is, it is easier, you know. I mean, that's like, I don't know, being a chef, but you only work at a pastry place, you know, and all of a sudden you're asked to cook, you know, dinner for 500, you're kind of in trouble, you know, because you haven't been doing that. So you just can't deliver the results. But working on the everyday person with all the, you know, like you said, skin types and different bone structures and eye shapes and face shapes and angles and all the plethora of skin issues, that's huge. I mean, in the medical industry, doctors have to do, you know, internships of minimum wage for 2 to 3 years in ER. I mean, that's putting in their dues to learn all the different possible things that could go wrong with a human body. For a makeup artist, that's like, you know, that's our equal is working in retail, I think.
And, you know, it also, it definitely keeps you on your toes because, I mean, you have those people that you're doing makeup on at those counters, they often, of course, are going to look at you as the expert. I mean, they think you're the expert, so you need to be their expert because they're going to ask you about, you know, products that they should use, skincare products they should use. It doesn't even matter if you're not an esthetician or whatever. Just because you're that makeup artist doing their makeup, they're going to ask you these questions. So it's important for you to, you know, understand some things about skincare you know, it's important for you to know, you know, the products out there, at least some of them. If you're in the department stores at the counters, look around. You know, I'm pretty sure most major department stores will have a Kiehl's counter, or they'll have whatever else. There's tons of different lines in the department store. So you have to educate yourself on some of those things, because they will definitely ask you those questions.
Yeah. I mean, skincare is so big. There's so many makeup artists who just don't do skin. They just, you know, baby wipe their face. If you've read that interview recently I did for Devour Magazine, you know, I'm like, you know, I can't even say it because it's a G-rated show, I think. But my thoughts on that are just so pretty hideous. Yeah, we should know how to literally improve someone's skin. I mean, if you sent me 100 women, I am confident that I could improve every single one of their skin in some way just with the information. I mean, I can look at someone's face and I can tell them about their diet. I can tell them what they wash their face and how often. I can tell them what they probably have under their sink, but they never use it. I can tell them what side they sleep on. I can tell them if they put perfume on every day. I can tell who's a vegan. I can tell who juices. I can tell who has a thyroid problem. I can tell so much about their skin. But that's just from years and years and decades of figuring it out. And
right.
I think it's important. If you can't understand, most makeup artists don't know enough about skin. They just put the same foundation on that they like on everybody, and sometimes it's desirable and sometimes it's not. And they usually just blame the model in the end and say, oh, her skin was so bad. It's like, no, she had a skin issue. You made it look worse because you didn't understand the skin, and you grabbed the wrong bottle, the wrong formula, the wrong finish for her skin issue. And, you know, they're like, ah, Photoshop it, you know. And that's sad to me. That woman deserved to look in the mirror and feel beautiful, whether it's a model or an actress. That's her livelihood. And if they don't look and feel great, A, you're not going to work with them again. That's a lose-lose. That's not about Photoshopping it. That's your reputation. And so many people don't look at it in that light. You know, they're just doing the next person, waving their brushes around, where's my paycheck? And that's frustrating for me, because that's not what I do. It's not a job to me. It's my life. And part of what I did in my last 3-day marketing workshop is I actually asked a dozen big-name photographers that I work with this question. And I said, if you've ever worked with a makeup artist and you knew when you were done with that day you never would work with them again, what reason would it be? And holy cow. I mean, they were like, oh, telling me stories after stories after stories after stories. It's like they couldn't even, you know, focus on one. There were so many times that they'd felt that way. And so it was quite interesting. But, I mean, overall, the majority of comments, well, I'll read you some of what I have here, like the top 8 I took notes because I knew I wouldn't remember. Overall, I was told bad makeup. They didn't know how to properly use color. Poorly trained or not trained in makeup at all, couldn't follow in the instructions for the makeup look that was requested by either them or the paying client. The work looked great in their portfolio, but when they actually worked with them in person, the work was, you know, pretty horrible and needed a ton of retouching. They had a lack of commitment to their own work and reputation, which is what I just mentioned in my story. That's what made me think of this. Also that they had really bad energy, being possibly just, you know, negative or just, you know, going through the motions and waiting to leave. Of course, being late is a big problem for a lot of makeup artists. And the last one was that they weren't flexible with the client or team. You know, they were told they were doing one thing, but when you get there, sometimes it's different. You know, the wardrobe doesn't arrive. Now we got to do this. And, you know, makeup artists just, you know, having a tizzy that, you know, I booked this because I wanted to do this. Well, it's not all about us.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was really so interesting that, you know, most of them, of course, are about skill. But it's really important to know the difference in how to deliver what a client wants. There's such a big difference in, you know, clean beauty makeup versus basic beauty or fashion and high fashion, and how to do them all differently depending on the lighting. You know, if they want one thing and it's, you know, 3-quarter shots versus it's up close, that's different. And you need to know that, and you need to do, you know, of course, do it differently. But again, if it's indoor or outdoor, or if they still are shooting old-fashioned film or color, or if it's going to be in black and white, or, you know, if there's going to be some crazy processing thing to some artistic thing that the photographer is going to do afterwards in Photoshop, or if it's not even a photo shoot, if it's for a video, or if it's something in HD, or it's commercial, or if it's editorial. I mean, all of this should tell us, you know, that the requested look and how we tweak it so it's still right. You know, for it's
right.
A photo shoot or runway or TV film, the exact same makeup's going to look different in every single entity. And so many makeup artists don't know that. The majority of makeup artists I find, sadly, because, again, most of the schools just aren't teaching this, would do the same makeup, you know, and just say, you know, Photoshop it if it's not working for you, you know, or wait to see it on the monitor and then, you know, panic and try and tweak it. But the truth is, if they would have done it in the first place if they understood. And so they often
mm-hmm.
still can't fix it or tweak it enough. And it's just so important to be able to apply, you know, your knowledge and wisdom and figure out, you know, what's missing so you can excel as an artist. I mean,
right.
18 years ago when I opened my agency, you know, I just, you know, I thought I knew a lot of people in the industry. Everybody just come on in. And, I mean, the makeups were horrible. Like, I think I mentioned this before on a previous one, where I literally had to leave the room because I thought I was being punked.
Mm.
And, you know, I thought, gosh, what did some of these people, you know, were telling me they spent $20,000 at this school or that school. And I thought, what did you guys do for a year? Like, I just, mind-blowing that a lot of them couldn't even match a foundation. And,
wow.
You know, eyeliner, like I always say, it looks like a monkey on crack did it sometimes. It's like, how do you not know how to do liner still? You know, after, you know, even though you're newbie, but you've been working and at school a year, you should know how to do, you know, razor thin liner. I don't know.
You know,
Donna, I
blame it all on makeup artists who either want to do celebrities or they want to be celebrities. Everything is about
yeah.
a celebrity. And I think half of the stuff that we're talking about tonight, most of them could care less. They just want to do the celebrity and be famous. And that's why you see so many of them, and I'm just going to say it, that's why you see so many of them with their work plastered all over Instagram and Facebook and the befores and afters. They just want to show people that, you know, look at what I can do. I can be the face. My eyes look great. This, you know, this, that, and the other. Everybody wants to be the next be face honey.
It's just our society. I mean, we're so dumb. Like I was telling somebody earlier, you know, there's more votes on American Idol than there was for the presidential election. I mean, that says a lot
right.
about our society. It is. It's embarrassing. I mean, I did a thing for a high school and college career day, and the number one requested when high school girls are asked right now what they want to be when they grow up, the number one answer is a reality star.
Right.
And that's horrifying as an
it is
adult.
Horrifying.
But it's like they don't know any different, and we're just, you know, we've dumbed everything down so much, you know. If I had a dollar for every makeup artist I've met that says they learned everything they know on YouTube, it takes everything in me not to just burst into laughter, because it's like the people on YouTube making videos for the most part don't work. They just do themselves and get views, and you get paid for clicks, and, you know, it's funding their lifestyle of doing their own eyeball, you know, and
right.
God bless them for that. You know, it's an easier work than I do to make a change.
Right.
But, you know, so, I mean, there's income there. But it's the falseness of reality of what Americans, at least, and of course, you know, I imagine it's in most countries as well, what people believe to be a makeup artist is very different than the reality of those who really make a good living. So, you know, when I did these auditions 18 years ago, that's when I realized what, you know, makeup artists didn't know then is different. That was before computers, you know, the internet was even invented, mind you. So what I realized they weren't teaching then was one thing, and now I have this new issue of people thinking they already know. But, you know, it's not about 17 colors of eyeshadow. That's not what pays the bills. No one wants, you know, the big dingle ball lashes and, you know, Halloween face paint and whatnot. You know, you don't see that on the red carpet, and there's a reason. So, I mean, that's, you know, why I created the training that I had, because I started teaching people what I knew they needed to know, what I had experienced was necessary to make me successful. And I had to teach all the artists that before I would let them work in my agency and you know, refer them out under my name. And, you know, and then people started coming to me saying, I don't want to be your agency, but just teach me this. Like, your people are awesome. And I had no intentions of opening an academy. And I thought, okay, I'll just get a bigger building, move my office out here, and I'll do a class once a year and help people. And next thing you know, we ever sold out, you know, days and nights, a year and a half in advance, and it's never stopped. So almost 19 years later, here I am, you know, queen of the academy, I suppose. So, you know, my path, this was not my path, but I feel like it's so many other people's destinies that I feel I have to help them.
Right. Well, Donna, let's talk a little bit about industry awareness. You mentioned that as your second point.
Yes, I would love to. yeah, like an example I want to start off with, because I think a lot of people don't really even understand maybe what I mean by that. But to me, industry awareness is, you know, about like so many makeup artists just focus on doing the makeup. They, you know, all they want to do is makeup, you know, big eyes, whatever. But they don't even understand the reality of how much more goes into it. They don't understand how the industry works. They don't understand, you know, how anything works. For example, you know, the photographer never gives them their pictures, and they blame the photographer. The clients, you know, don't pay, or, you know, they're sending invoices and they're just not getting it. You know, they're getting booked on things and, you know, think it's a few models. They get there and they're expecting to do, you know, eight people, and the quality of their work's not good, and it's hurting their reputation. You know, they're getting overworked for the rates that they're getting. They're getting expected to test and even in these days do, you know, commercial work sometimes now. And, you know, big gigs are looking for models to do it for free because they can. And, you know, clients asking for discounts and cheaper rates, and brides want free, you know, previews, and, you know, everybody wants free services. I mean, it's crazy, and there's so many makeup artists out there blaming everybody. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I saw the post about, you know, I'm an artist, I don't work for free, screw you, whatever thing. It's like, okay, people wouldn't keep asking you to work for free if they didn't think you were at that level. There's always a crazy person out there that, you know, there's people who ask probably David LaChapelle to do shit for free too, I imagine. But, you know, that aside, it's, you have to understand how the industry works, and that stops happening to you. You know, the photographer doesn't give you the pictures because you didn't know enough about how it's supposed to work and how to negotiate up front and make sure that didn't happen. You know, the clients didn't pay you because you didn't get a client contract and you didn't negotiate rates properly. You know, I mean, you know, you're not getting credits in a magazine. You get your first tear sheet and they, you know, don't put, they put hair and makeup by somebody else, or they don't credit you at all, or they spell your name wrong. I mean, these are all really our problems as makeup artists that we create. And that, to me, is what I mean by not having the right industry awareness. You have to understand how the industry works, not just blame everybody. It's not pointing fingers. It's about creating solutions. And I just don't see a lot of that going on in today's society, which is frustrating. And it honestly hurts my heart. Like, if you really want to do makeup and you have to go back to your corporate job or work at a Home Depot or the dry cleaners because you can't figure out how to make it work, figure out how to make it work and stop blaming everybody else. I recently had one of my graduates, she's agency represented, and she had a big problem because she was using images from a shoot that her own agent sent her on, yet the photographer saw them on her website and caused a huge stink and complained to her agent, and their agent was pissed off at her, you know, because he said he didn't give the makeup artist the right to use the pictures, and he sold the rights to the client. You know, I mean, it was just a strange situation, but the point is she came out looking like the bad guy when it's really not a big deal. But if she would have had a release where the client says, you know, yeah, you have the right to use them too, not just the photographer, you know, it wouldn't have been a big deal. So I recently created these, you know, business packet of professional forms for makeup artists. Whether, you know, you're new or you've been around the block forever, it would still simplify and make people's life a lot easier. So I actually have three different model releases in it because there's just different scenarios that you would need one for. You know, there's always the photographer. I mean, I work with big-name photographers that, you know, don't even have a release. They're just, you know, the big name kind of still flying by the seat of their pants. They're talented at what they do, and their work's everywhere, but that doesn't mean they're business-minded either, like so many makeup artists. So, you know, I found that in the end, you know, if they're doing a little newbie model, but the next thing you know, she's, you know, whatever. She's dating Justin Bieber, so she's all over the press. now you can't use the pictures because you forgot to get her signed release. You know, so even just having a standard photographer's release, because they don't have them. That's something that I teach my, you know, my students to do. But also having a different release that, in addition to the photographer, gives the rights to the crew for images. You know, whether they're paid or unpaid jobs, of course, you know, depends on if it's a campaign or something like that. Obviously, we all know we can't publish it prior to that. But even a third release that I've created for so many of my grads that do bridal business. Bridal business is a huge business. I mean, you can do over $100,000 a year doing brides. I mean, you know, we always say that people are going to constantly get married and die. So bridal industry is such a big thing. But for them, a lot of times, you know, the wedding photographer's images sometimes aren't great, or a lot of wedding photographers don't even take a good close-up of the bride. You know, there's just a bunch of pictures, you know, at the reception, you know, when she's already had a few too many. Or, you know, with a bunch of relatives in front of the pipe organ, nobody wants that picture. So I encourage my grads to actually do their own before and after pictures at the preview and on the wedding day. If nothing else, you have something, a close-up of a fresh makeup. And, you know, brides want to just see brides. When I first started the industry, I already had, you know, a good portfolio with celebrities and everything, and I realized that brides didn't care about that. They're like, did you do a wedding? It's like, no, but it's a beauty makeup. I can still, but that doesn't... It's not interest to a bride. It's her biggest day in life. She wants someone who specializes in bridal makeup. So I learned that coming in, you know, many, many years ago. So the point is I encourage my girls to take that. So, but you still need, you know, a model release because the bride could, you know, literally sue you and not want you to put her before a picture, you know. But if it's part of your contract and you have a release as, you know, you being the photographer, you know, you can still cover your butt on that, so... All of the contracts, you know, are legal binding agreements, so not just the model releases, but I have some of the other documents in there. You know, we put the makeup artist logo or trademark or whatever they have, so everything is literally, you know, customized for them. So we have the three different model releases. We have the pro invoice, client agreement contracts, testing agreements, you know, a real formal one that, you know, really gets you understanding how tests are supposed to work versus a simple one when somebody calls you last minute, wants to throw you on a test, but, you know, how to make sure you get, you know, your images and how size resolution and all those things. Publication credit submission form, so you understand how to make sure your credits in a magazine, if and when people get to that point, are accurate. Booking forms and how to track all of the clients. Bridal booking forms, which is an entirely different world. As well as resume formats, three different ones depending on kind of what level you're at in your career, rate research forms, so how people can figure out and calculate the rates in the first place, and then how to know when and where you're ready to get to the next level and increase your rate. Gosh, what else is in there? Overtime calculations, because as you know, it's overtime is different for print versus, you know, TV and film and whatnot, and business card stuff. There's so many people that just don't even have... business. I constantly collect business cards at every training that I do, and I'd say probably I have thousands, literally, at least 2,000 or more business cards to make for us, and I'd say there's probably 10 I would say I would recommend. Most people don't realize they're doing themselves an injustice with their business cards alone. I developed these new pro forms. You know, it's a lot of things that I've been teaching my students forever, but I, you know, went all out and just started doing it because I had so many requests for all of the different contracts and whatnot, of course, that I paid, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to have legally done in the first place. So I've just adjusted them, you know, and made them all customized for people so we can put all their information on it. So, you know, they can actually go out and hit the ground running and have, you know, achieve their goals a lot faster than they would otherwise because they're not going to get burned or taken advantage of, or, you know, they'll have their butts covered when it comes to protecting themselves if somebody does sue somebody for something. You know, and it makes them just look more professional. It's going to help build their confidence because people will look at you differently if you have, you know, a legal contract. Most makeup artists just take a phone call the night before, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And then, you know, stuff happens. Things get canceled, people, you know, and then it puts a bad taste in our mouth. But the truth is we have to look within ourselves and, you know, it's a business. It's not just, you know,
that's
that we like to
right.
make a lot. We should look at it like a business.
So your forms, they're ready to be sold. Where can people get your form?
Well, yeah, people have to submit, you know, like I said, their logo or trademark or whatever, and then we customize them and we get it to them within a month. I mean, I think there's 13 or 14 documents in there with all of the different things. That's like, you know, the whole, if they want the complete package, like I said, it cost me, you know, $1,000 just to get one of these contracts done for myself originally. But I do all of those for artists is $13.95. For the package of everything, but then I have a little starter one too that's $7.95. But that one doesn't include everything that I listed off. That one does include, you know, their own invoices, the main model release that adds the hair and makeup crew or wardrobe staff, whoever they might be, as well as the makeup artist one and client contract agreement, of course, because everybody needs that. The simple test agreement, the booking forms, research, and the business card one. So there's a simpler version for the newbies if they're just starting out. I think that's on my website already. If they want to, if they're interested.
Okay, on your website, okay.
Go to my Facebook. It's easiest to Facebook me, I suppose. But my website is www.donnabinc.com.
Inc.com. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. Great deal.
Yeah, but back to, you know, what you mentioned about industry awareness, you know, I urge, you know, people to not be a one-trick pony. Nobody likes that word. It's like, you know, a negative thing. But a lot of people don't realize they are that until they really look through their book or they get a portfolio evaluation from somebody who's honest with them. You know, there's a lot of people out there that'll take your money to do a portfolio evaluation, but, you know, they don't really, you know, they don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. A true portfolio evaluation is really pointing out what they can't see yet, you know, and that's so important. And a lot of people don't realize their book is very redundant. You know, you have to be able to do whatever somebody is looking for. And, you know, you should aspire at least your first 5 or 10 years in the industry to, you know, master as many things as possible. I mean, you might be better at beauty or fashion or whatever it is, and we all, you know, desire to do something that really floats our boat. But in the beginning, you've got to try and do as much as you can. And, you know, we should all aspire to become great at something. A photographer might ask us to make, you know, create looks from Theda Bara, Myrna Loy, and Anne Margaret, but if the makeup artist doesn't know who they are, they're just going to give them a Kim Kardashian. I mean, that is not going to work, you know. I always say, you know, if we have all watched those America's Next Top Model episodes or America's Next Top Model, not America, all these different countries, whoever's out there listening to me from South Africa and London and Australia and New Zealand and Indonesia and wherever else, I imagine they all have the Next Step Model series. You know, on ours in America, you know, there's always the girls begging Tyra to let them on the show. Oh, come on, Tyra, pick me. I live, eat, breathe, and sleep modeling, you know, and they're just trying to convince her how dedicated they are. And then she says, name two designers or supermodels. And literally the girl just looks at them. You know what I mean? It's like she's really serious, but she really isn't. She's serious in her head. It's like the people on American Idol. You're like, seriously? These people think they can sing? I mean, our perception of how dedicated we are is often in question to the general public. But, I mean, that's one of the reasons I created the 200 Decades of Beauty workshop, where we cover all the different beauty icons from, you know, all different eras and different iconic images, famous photographs that are, you know, people are going to mention or be, you know, doing an editorial spin-off of something. And, you know, there's so many artists who just are completely unaware of what it's even about. I have a whole presentation on 100 years of Vogue covers, which is super cool to see the transition and how, for example, completely different the makeup artists, well, the makeups were from the 60s. Like, we can all say, oh, this is 60s, this is 70s, this is 80s or 20s or whatever. But in the 60s, I mean, the makeup really changed like every couple of years. So when people tell me, oh, I want something 60s apart, okay, like be more specific. You want 62, you want 65, you want 67, 69, where are we at? Because that's
right.
Really different things going on. And, you know, that's something makeup artists should know. If we really love beauty and makeup, that's interesting to study. That's, like, really eye-opening. It's, I don't know, I mean, to me at least.
Right.
But anyway, we covered that, and I also covered the history of beauty and the whole tour of my 2,000-plus item vintage collection, and, you know, tell so many stories. So, you know, I was just caught myself giving advice on, I'm not even sure, I think it was either the UK or a South African site where someone asked about a geisha. You know, what do I do? How do I do a geisha? And everyone's saying, you know, you put white this, white that. And I'm like, technically, you don't want to use white. That looks like clown white is not geisha white.
Right.
And I tried to point that out, and someone's like, no, I did white. I learned white. I learned white in school. Like, who's this girl? What does she know? And I was like, okay, I'm sorry you learned that in school. I actually teach a two-hour segment on geisha, and I can assure you it's not clown white. So I had to point out, and they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, no, actually, they didn't use clown white, because that's what someone said. I'm like, actually, they used nightingale shit, excuse my language, nightingale poop up until 1954. So nightingale bird shit is not white. It's off-white. It's a creamy white.
There's a difference between white and off-white.
Yeah, totally, totally. So, you know, but, you know, you see white all the time on the geishas because people don't bother doing the research. You know, they pull up, they put in geisha makeup and they see a bunch of geishas someone did last year and they think it's traditional, you know. So, again, our instant gratification society. So, let's see. What else can I tell you about industry awareness? I don't know. There's so much.
Well, you know, Donna.
How much time? Oh, my God. It's already 7 o'clock. I didn't even get to
that's
business preparation.
Okay. I know. That's what they're saying. We're running out of time. But, you know, we probably have to schedule you to come back on because we still have to go over business preparation. And then you mentioned.
We should always schedule part one, part two, part three with me.
I know, with you. Exactly. Because you did say there were 5 categories and you were only going over 3 tonight. So,
I know. Yeah, well, I mean, those
discussion.
Are just, yeah. So, sure, we can schedule again. In the meantime, I can let people know that, let's see, what's coming up next for me? I have my Bali Beauty Boot Camp in May that I actually have a few people that just booked 3 weeks out of the 4. Originally, all the people who signed up took the whole 4 weeks, but I have had a couple people book a 2-week and another person book a 3-week segment, which has then opened me up for 1-week options. They're now open for the first time as of this morning. So if anyone's interested in tax-free, you know, education and traveling around the world, they can check out my Bali Boot Camp now has 1-week options. Whatever. That is in May. In June, I'll be speaking at the Fame Expo, so I'll see you ladies there.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm doing a class as well on Sunday, I think at noon or 1 o'clock. I haven't decided my subject yet, so I'm open to feedback if anyone's going to be going there that would like a 3 or 4 hour class with me. You know, there's a million topics I could do.
Yeah.
And where else? I'm finalizing some negotiations to speak in South Africa right now, so to do some classes in Johannesburg and in Cape Town in July. So announcement hopefully will be coming soon. We've been, you know, negotiating for a couple months now, but we're almost tied that up. And, yeah, lots of people asked me to come to London, but I haven't had time to make plans with that yet. Otherwise,
everyone can
always come see me here at my academy in California.
Wow. You have a lot going on, traveling all around the world with these classes. Definitely, well, you always do. You always send emails, so we get the information, but definitely keep us posted so we can get the information out there as well. Would you ever consider doing, you know, what you do in your Bali Boot Camp, would you ever consider doing that in California, something similar to that in California?
I
know that the school is there, but...
What I'm teaching actually in Bali is my 8-week training here. But I'm condensing it in much longer days, and we're going 5 and 6 days a week because we're in this beautiful villa compound. So we're, you know, literally going to be, you know, hanging out in the pool, going over curriculum some days, going snorkeling in the morning and then coming back to class. For the people who can't afford to, you know, come to America at all or United States, at least California, and hang out for 3 and 4 months for my classes, you know, that's why Bali is such a big deal. It's like literally a boot camp. I'm no joke. My classes are tough as they are. Normally we're here 5 or 6 hours a day, but it'll be 8+ hours a day, you know, condensing it in as fast as possible. So in Bali, I'm doing my introduction to makeup artistry 3-week class in addition to my 5-week, you know, expert artistry course, which is all about color theory and corrective beauty makeup. And, you know, a lot of major detail, smashing it into basically 28 days.
Well,
so it'll be less expensive for people who, you know, can't afford to take 3 or 4 months off, that they could come there and get a major, you know, 48 hours in just 6 days alone of training.
Well, maybe you should consider coming to the East Coast. How about that?
Well, I'm open. You guys going to host me, put together a class for me? I've had a lot of people asking me in New York, but, you know, I just haven't got around to putting it on my calendar. So I'm open. We can discuss. I don't know when I can get there this year, but, you know, you never know.
Yes. And then I think the ideal class for me is if I could get you and Marietta together just for a week.
Oh, my God, we would have so much fun.
Yes, that would be the ideal class for two of you. So I'm kind of afraid of Marietta just a little bit. I know she's listening, but I'm afraid of her just a little bit. But, you know, I've never taken a class.
People tell me they're afraid of me all the time.
Because Marietta, well, she doesn't play with those classes. And I'm pretty sure you don't either.
She is so good at she used to teach the period makeup class for me in marketing. She's so good at TV and film marketing. Anybody out there, if you're interested in TV and film, you've got to get Marietta's marketing class. I mean, I teach a marketing class more based on print for 3 days, and bridal is my thing for my marketing. But Marietta's is TV film and, you know, breaking down a script and negotiating major contracts and getting and your husband and your nanny float all around the world.
Right.
I remember her class. I mean, I've never done film in my life, but I used to sit in on her class because it was just so, wow.
We know.
Marietta Rock. She knows that. She's over there clapping right now.
Right.
She knows. She's awesome.
And I just wanted to just make let everyone know about this, that you're on Twitter as @beautyprodigy.
Yeah, beautyprodigy.com.
I could not remember that for nothing. I couldn't remember it.
An old staff did one for me, a Donna Mee, but, I mean, she can't remember the password, and I couldn't figure out how to get into it, so I just made a new one. So I believe there's one that says Donna Mee with my face on it, but I don't think there's any tweets. My Twitter is Beauty Prodigy. I don't tweet that much, I have to be honest. Kind of don't get it, to tell you the truth. But I'm on Facebook like crazy. I think I'm in 92 makeup artist groups. So that's the easiest place to reach me if somebody wants to. I've got a fan page, but, you know, fan pages don't show up in feeds anymore. So I just do most of my stuff from my regular page. So if anybody wants to find me, I'm Donna Mee, donna.mee.16 is my Facebook, because there's lots of Donna Mees out there, believe it or not.
They are. Trust me, I was trying to find your Twitter page. I saw so many, I just gave up.
Yeah, I used to have a bunch of them on my friends list, because I thought it was interesting until, you know, some of them were saying some pretty wackadoodle stuff, and everyone thought it was me, so I had to delete them.
Well, Donna, if you are free on the very first Sunday of April, I say let's schedule you in so you can come back and finish this conversation.
April.
So you just let me know.
What, the first Sunday is the 6th?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't think I can, because the next day is my huge bridal, advanced bridal one-day class webinar, and the bridal marketing is the 8th and 9th. So that'll be a tough week for me, but Let me know another time. I'll see what I can do.
All right. I'll shoot you over some dates. You know how we always do, and we'll figure it out.
All right.
We'll get you back on.
Well, great talking to you ladies again.
All right. Thank you.
Sorry
so
we didn't
much.
Have time to take callers.
I know. Next time.
All right. Next time.
All right.
Thanks everybody.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for listening. And again, stay tuned. We'll have more information on the Famous Nails Nail Competition that's going to take place at St. Expo's this June 28th and 29th. So follow us on Facebook, Beauty Talk Online, and on Instagram, Beauty_Talk_Media. And then we're on Twitter as Beauty_Talk, I believe. But we will also post it on our blog and also here on Blog Talk Radio. So again, thank you for listening. Thank you, Brandy and Marietta and Keisha. I see you all in the on the Beauty Lounge chat. So thank you guys for participating.
Really and Herb, entertainment specialist.
Yes, definitely Herb. You know, we know Herb has friends all over the place, so we thank you for that. Exposing the show to all kinds of people. Thank you so much, Herb. And again, next week, I'm excited about next week's show as well. We have Kenesha Lee, and she calls herself a beauty activist. She's also a red carpet makeup artist. She'll be here next Sunday to talk about fearless beauty. I'm so excited about that because it's going to be a little bit about makeup, but then it's also going to really be about what we always talk about, and that's what is Beauty Sunday, where we have Kenesha. And then we have the following Sunday after that will be Melanie Mills. So stay tuned every Sunday to Beauty Talk. And until next week, everyone have a beautiful and blessed week. And I'm going to send it over to my sister Denise, see if she has anything she wants to say really quick.
No, because you just said it all.
All right. Good night, everybody.